brother Johnny is in Houston, Texas. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Stevie.
And Mike Wildshot, are you in Naples?
No, I came back to Chicago last night. I gotta go in the India on Wednesday, so I came back here to go to Indy.
All right, so this is a busy Super Bowl week, still busy for Mike Ditka. You're doing what this week?
Well, I really don't know to this point. I know I've got about three sports centers I got to do. Starting Wednesday, got to do a deal for Horning. I'm going to run down Louisville one night, and then I got to do the show on Sunday, and I'm getting out of there. And I'm finished for the year, and I'm glad it's over.
Well, it sounds like the weather might be okay. I don't know. It gets a little cooler. Might be some snow this weekend, Stevie. I don't know.
Well,
over in Indianapolis.
For travel purposes, I suppose, isn't Lucas Oil covered, correct? Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, will be fine, and everybody will be there with their $2,500 to $3,000 end-zone ticket. I mean, it's stunning, the price of the ticket, Mike, and the demand for these things.
It's a shame. It really is. And the game was never meant to come to that, but it has come to that. And I guess you can say that about every sport, whether it be the Major League Baseball, the World Series, or what. But it seems a little ridiculous, really. I mean, there's enough money made that there shouldn't be money made in that manner. So that's my feeling anyway.
All right. Johnny completed a Marine mutter over the weekend, Mike. This is a gladiator-type 12-mile over the walls. Through the mud. I mean, Johnny finished the mutter. Mike, he's alive.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus. He's alive.
That's pretty daggone good. You got to be proud of that, John. That's pretty exciting.
I'll tell you what. I think if they'd had a category for the guy with the longest list of reasons not to do that, I might have won that. But yeah, it was interesting. I think it was fun doing it. I will say, I'd quote Apollo Creed, Steve, ain't going to be no rematch.
Well, congratulations. That's a grueling event, the Marine Mutter. That's very impressive. I'm thankful you're okay.
It was an interesting event. And, you know, they raised money for the wounded veterans. Some of them were out there running, you know, with prosthetic legs. It was amazing, Mike, seeing these guys. And that was one good thing about that event that really made you feel good. And I thought it was just, you know, it wasn't a picnic, I will say that.
Mm.
But you know, it wasn't. You could walk around an event. I didn't walk around any but the shocker, Stevie. You know, they have this taser you run through you know, they were just knocking guys down. And that was more at the end for the crowd. I don't know how you train for that one. So I didn't want to accept that challenge.
Thank you.
I think 28 out of the 29 or 28 out of the 30
well,
deal. So.
Congratulations, and thanks for helping the wounded warriors. That's a great cause. And I know those guys are so inspiring. All right, Mike, if you were Peyton Manning's dad, what would you tell him about his future? Would you say, you did it, kid. You don't mess with your neck and your back. Why not just step away?
Well, that would probably be one of the things you have to consider. You know, I don't think people know the whole story here. I don't think it's really been told. I think he's had three surgeries on that neck. I think the chance for really bad damage is pretty high. I say the one thing I would tell him, too, there's no loyalty in sports. Don't expect the coach to be loyal to you. I mean, the players aren't loyal, owners aren't loyal. I mean, it's just the way it is, fellas. I hate to be that blunt, but it is just that way. Because I don't think they're going to cough up $28 million. I really don't. For a guy that there's a lot of question marks on when they can go out there in the draft and get a young guy and hope they can build on that guy in the years to come.
Boy, I'd tell him that I know he wants to play too. So that's tough. But if I was his dad, I'd tell Matthew not to play because he's done a lot. And, you know, the difference between winning one Super Bowl and two Super Bowls is not as big as 0-1, and he's accomplished the most you can do. And you got that risk that just in that area of the body, it's not worth it.
Well,
of course, I just ran a tough mutter, so what do I know?
I think that old saying, too, you know when to hold him and you know when to fold him. What a great career he's had. What a great example he's been for the youth of America, for the people of Indianapolis, for the National Football League fans. You know, if he has to walk away, he can walk away with his head held high, where he's going to live a normal life. He's not going to live a life through paralysis or anything like that. And I think, you got to look at it that way. Now, again, I'm not Peyton, and I know how much he wants to play. I know what's eating inside of him, and I know how much he wants to play. Sometimes, caution is the greater part of valor.
No. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, you're on 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Mike, the players and the coaches, Super Bowl week leading up, when you were preparing the 85 Bears, what was your number one concern?
Well, you know, there's going to be, well, the first thing is we get everything in the first week. And then when you get to Chicago, I told them, listen, guys, I mean, get to New Orleans, which is, you know, what can happen in New Orleans. I said, listen, you know, you can go out to Wednesday night. I said, I don't want anybody out after Wednesday night. I said, there's nothing you can do. I said, you can go out Sunday night after the game. You can stay there for a month if you want to and go out. I said, but you can't be out from Thursday on. Most of our guys abided by it pretty well. Maybe one or two broke it, but, you know, that's the thing. You know, everybody goes down there and I said, there's going to be a party. There's going to be a lot of parties in your life. There's only going to be one Super Bowl. So, you know, everybody goes down and they want to do this, you want to do this, you want to go to Pat O'Brien's, you want to get drink a few drinks. Hey, forget it. You can do that after the season's over. But it's hard to tell somebody in their 20s or 30s that. Believe me, I went through it. You know, oh, man, there's a party going on. We got to go to it.
Yeah.
Well, you can go to the party. There'll be a party after the game.
Well, it worked out. I think most of them did listen to you, Mike, because they had a heck of a game.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Patriots went out.
Yeah. Well, it's a classic moment, but it sure has grown in 26 years, hasn't it?
Well, it's really, when you think of all the events, and I want to tell you one thing. I watched that Australian Open tennis yesterday, and I want to applaud two of the greatest athletes I've ever seen, Djokovic and Nadal. They were unbelievable. What a great game it was to watch. What great competitors, what great athletic ability, what great condition. They played for 6 hours, guys. Played tennis for 6 hours.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Stop it. I couldn't sleep that long.
That's unreal. I saw some of the highlights this morning.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's just the strength and the, you know, the stamina you have to have in a six-hour tennis match.
Well, you know, just the level of athleticism we see these days is just mind-boggling. You know, even the Pro Bowl last night when they were playing pretty much half speed, but they were doing some great things too. And I kind of like watching the thing, although, Mike, I don't know. I could make an argument, not a very good one, but I could actually argue that I'm closer to being as good a quarterback as Cam Newton as Cam is to Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, because the difference in those three guys, Cam Newton versus the other two, didn't look like the same Pro Bowl to me when Cam Newton played there. But it's fun watching them.
Well, it's not, but you got to look at the inexperience, man. And when you start talking about Rodgers and Brees and some of those guys, Brady, I mean, you're talking about the elite Manning. You know, I think Cam Newton is going to be very good in time. I think it's going to take some time. But, I mean, I think if you look at a guy who's a big, tall guy who stands up in the pocket, delivers the ball, he does all those things very well. He's going to get better and better on recognizing, anticipating things like that and delivering the ball. But I think the sky's the limit for him.
Well, I think that's true, potentially. But right now, when you look at the difference, it's
zoom. Oh, yeah. Those guys are, I didn't watch the game because I refuse to watch that game anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair. I think the only game to me that really makes is the All-Star game in baseball makes more sense than anything else. I don't, you know, I have the one in the NBA, the one in hockey. You know, it's not the same. They're not competing the same. And I think in baseball, it's a little more they do. Now, I don't know how they can change in football. I mean, if they say, okay, we're going to pay the team that wins a lot more than the team that loses, maybe they will go out there and play. But, you know, they're playing touch football and all that. I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. One more sports item before we turn to the Florida primary. I don't know if you guys saw any of golf over the weekend, but what happened to the PGA at Torrey Pines, I don't think I've ever seen. It goes to the 18th hole. Kyle Stanley is ahead by 3 shots. He hits his third shot on the par 5, on that par 5, hits the third shot, spins it too much, rolls down the hill, stops twice, but decides to go in the water anyway. He ends up 3-putting for an 8. Brent Snedeker wins in the second sudden death hole. Just a heartbreaking loss for this kid. He's only 24. Terrific player. But, yeah. Man, you go into the last hole up a 3. You just don't ever see that in the PGA.
Yeah, well, he's from he's from up this way here, and I know some people that know him very well. He's a great kid, and I was shocked because I saw part of it. I saw him leading by 3 shots. I said, well, I don't think he can lose it. And then I knew, I saw where he triple bogeyed the last hole.
Yeah, he was up 7 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Seven. The closest guy was 7 shots, and then all of a sudden things just closed in, and he hits it a country mile. It just tends to go different places.
Well, he was hitting it great. You know, those are tough losses to come through. But, you know, we'll see how he reacts to it. But that's tough when you lose one like that, I'm sure.
Tiger.
That's why I've always got basically the results basically known in about the 6th hole, Steve. I don't have to worry about blowing a lead.
Hey, Tiger gets 3rd in Abu Dhabi. I think a good darn tournament for him. Didn't play as well yesterday. But Tiger Woods appears to have his swing back.
Who won that tournament?
It was the Italian guy. The guy didn't wear a hat like Jack Nicklaus. Rock? John Rock? Is that his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then McIlroy got 2nd, and then Tiger gets 3rd. All right.
Well, they had some players over there.
Ooh, they did. Well, the Europeans pay this appearance fee. Tiger got $1 million for showing up. So
yeah, PGA, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
PGA's
debating whether they need appearance fee money because none of the top 25 went to Torrey Pines. They were all in Abu Dhabi. All right, 7:47 in Champaign-Urbana to politics in the Florida primary. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of how things are going right now and the contentiousness on the GOP side, let's listen to a couple of clips. This is George Will yesterday.
Romney at 42, Gingrich 27, Santorum 16, Paul 11. Romney opening up that gap with Gingrich even more than the Miami Herald poll. What's going on?
Here's George.
Time is not Newt Gingrich's friend, because the more time he has, the more he talks. And the more he talks, the more he says things, as he just did here this morning. He said, I'd love to be civil, but I'm running against a maniacal liar. Now, that's pretty strong language. I don't know if you've ever told Longfellow's nursery rhyme to your 4-year-old daughter, Alice.
No, not yet.
There is a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very good indeed. And when she was bad, she was horrid. And we're at the horrid stage with Newt Gingrich.
And then Sarah Palin says,
both party machines and many in the media are trying to crucify Newt Gingrich for bucking the tide and bucking the establishment. That tells you something. And I say, you know, and you got to rage against the machine at this point in order to defend our republic and save what is good and secure and prosperous about our nation. We need somebody who's engaged in sudden and relentless reform and isn't afraid to shake it up, shake up that establishment. So, if for no other reason, rage against the machine, vote for Newt.
All right, that's what Sarah Palin said. That's what George Will said. Your thoughts, Johnny?
Well, I think that there's a lot to the 16 million versus 4 million that Romney spent, and a lot of has been negative. I don't know if I'm as worried about Newt as George. I think that Gingrich has the ideas and the experience, knows how the system works, but hasn't really drunk the Kool-Aid, so that he would do a lot better as president, I think, than Romney for what we need. Romney is a lot more diplomatic and a lot more charismatic at times, so he's doing well, but I'm worried. Mike, you said it, and I'm starting to wonder whether he can beat Obama. I don't know if he can beat Obama.
Charismatic guys already.
What's that?
You want two of them? We already have one of those. We need a leader. I don't know who it is. But who the hell is George Will to say anything about anybody? What's he ever done? What's his credentials?
Well, he went to Uni High in Champaign.
He's got an opinion. He is the same as mine. He's got an opinion.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Stevie, I think that Romney might have trouble against Obama just because of that. Mike's right there.
Well, they're both the same. Come on, stop it. We need somebody strong. I don't know that Gingrich is that guy either. I don't know. I mean, if I go back and look at all these people, I'd go back and say, I like Palin. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's the leader. Somebody's going to put their foot down and say, we can't keep going the way we're going. I listened to the thing on the flat tax. I thought the Gingrich has a great point. But, you know, when you still take it, if you go to the flat tax, and I understand when you involve the state taxes and the local taxes, you still pay a pretty big penny. But he's right. If you can cut it down to 15%, you've got a chance. And you'll limit spending and you can balance the budget. But when you do that, you understand now you're going to close down one of the biggest departments in the government, and that's the IRS.
Yeah.
Well, he's also talking about shutting down the Department of Energy and other cutting other departments.
What couldn't they do?
They don't do any. That's the whole point.
These companies that we give money to that are phony companies. Why? Because, you know, it's a politically correct thing. Oh, we're going to do clean energy. The environmentalists will like this. They'll favor us. Well, who cares who they favor? I mean, my God, you know, you got to do what's right for the country. It's the thing, John, you know more about it than anybody about the oil. You know what's going on. We have the oil here. We can bring the oil in from Canada, and we don't do it. We can draw offshore, but we're not doing it. I don't really understand it. We want to become dependent on Venezuela or somebody else. It doesn't make any sense. Come on, wake up. This is America.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I think that we need a change. We have got to get Obama out, and that's clear.
We're not going to get him out unless somebody really, really steps up and shows that they're a leader that can affect change. I mean, it's the same charismatic. I mean, what the hell has that got to do with anything? Sometimes you got to take the bullet, guys. Sometimes you got to take the bullet.
Well, I know one thing. If it's Mitt Romney, we're going to hear how a big, bad one percenter he is for 8 months about, you want the one percenter in the White House? This man's rich. I mean, come on. It's going to be class warfare times 100.
No, he's a good target for Obama. Gingrich is much, much better for the competition, but I think he also has the points that Mike's making, which is there's some ideas. He's a little bit of a visionary that can get carried away, but that's the kind of thing we've got to have, somebody with an idea that's not afraid to try it, going the other way, which is growing smaller in government.
Let me say one thing in defense of Romney. I don't know Romney, but what is the American dream? What is it for everybody? You work and you better yourself and you make a good living. Now, if along the way you become very successful, very wealthy, is that wrong? I'm not sure that I understand it, because you had an idea or you had a product or you did something a special way and you made money. So that makes you a bad guy, because now you're better than the establishment or 98% of the other people. It is the American dream. You start and you're guaranteed an opportunity. You take that opportunity and you run with it. Now, I don't know anything about the guy, but I'm just saying, you can't blame him for having money or making money or being successful or anything like that. That's bull.
And you're right. And I don't think the class warfare strategy, Stevie, will work for Obama. I don't know what else he can go to. I don't know what else he can point to. I don't know how else he can run a campaign
But listen to his State of the Union, his talk. And go back, and I went back. I watched Fox News, because that's basically how I watch. And they went back, and all the things that he said 3-4 years ago, he's contradicted in his speech the other night. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah. All right, let me ask you a question, because I'm going to ask this question in our next hour. What do you want out of your elected officials, Johnny?
I just want honesty and integrity. And if you have that, and like Mike says at least twice a show, common sense.
I'm going to answer that almost the same way, John. I think when you get elected to politics in our country, it is a position of service. Position of service. You're serving the American people. You're serving the people who put you in office. And we have to pay attention to what America wants, the direction we want to go. I think you have to listen a little better instead of talking all the time. And I think too many of our politicians talk. They don't listen. And that becomes a problem. And even if they use a teleprompter, they still talk.
Well, I would love to add that, you know, not only honesty and integrity, but not a career. How about not a career?
Well, term limits are essential. You really got to understand that they're essential. These clowns go to Washington and they put up a tent and they stay there for 35 years. Come on, get out of there. Stop that stuff.
Well, the truth is, though, that you need the term limits, because it's very difficult to maintain integrity and continue to be honest the longer you're up there, because everybody's pandering to you. That if you were honest and had the integrity and had the common sense and worked the way you're supposed to as service, I don't care how long you stayed there. But guess what? Nobody can do that. That's why you have to have term limits, because power corrupts.
Mm. Looks like we lost Mike. Johnny, it's time. Anyway, I appreciate you, and thank you as always. Congratulations on the mutter.
Well, Stevie, it was
so glad you're
quite an adventure.
He said I didn't want to tell you because you'd worry. I said I didn't want him to do it anyway.
Right. Well, I mean,
well,
it was 4,000 or 5,000
people went through it, and they had a big, they had quite a few spectators, actually, and they had, bands and barbecue, and it was just kind of a carnival atmosphere. It was down in Breckenridge Park near Edna, Texas, Stevie. And,
wow.
Just a great day for a walk in the park.
How many people did you say again go through that?
I think 4,000 or 5,000.
Wow. Holy crap. Was the weather good?
It was good. I'll tell you something now. We went in and out of this lake, wading and walking up to your waist and shoulders, and the wind was blowing. So it was 60, but with that 20-mile-an-hour wind, I'll tell you what, we were getting frozen, and then up and down in that, in through the lake and the mud. And you could have done it. Diane could have made it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, we'd have made her. And we had a team, too, Steve, so we were able to help each other on stuff.
How important was the team?
Oh, well, that was make or break.
Okay.
Because some of us could do some things well, and then the others could do others, and it helped get through the obstacles. And then you have encouragement, and you have camaraderie, and so it was great. We had our faces painted blue, like Braveheart. So we
love it. How fun is that? All right, you got pictures. I hope I see sometime.
Very few.
Hey, welcome back.
We got a few.
Hey, listen. Thanks again, as always. You and Mike are terrific. We appreciate both of you.
Thank you, Steve J.
Take care.
Congratulations on that warm weather up there.
Yeah,
man.
We love it. 51. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.